Seminar Information Overload.
Go ahead. Turn the slash. Just a little bit. I will do it.
You're getting back-to-back seminars all day long.
I'm not saying that it's a theater guy. You can go on the political knowledge space and that's it.
I'm sure you're all ecstatic about it, but at a certain point, there's a threshold where your brain just kind of goes,
I guess you will post it.
So, you know, I'm probably at the best time of the day when you've already been through
na konci si pět na seminář, jako jsme to prošli. Můžete jim asi trošku každý v tom svém světu.
Power nap.
Nap
is a 5-minute sleep.
Power nap is where you just sit
there and desk.
Na svém stolu, ili ti kada jeste, odmorite se, opustite i zaspite na 5 minuta. Začuđujuće, ako možete opustiti svoj um, svoj tijelo, na 5 minuta, daće vam dovoljno energije, kao i nakon sat vremena sna. Neće jednostavno uskočiti nakon ovog seminara. Ako će neko hrkanje, u redu je.
Yeah. About 9 seconds. Okay. Everybody out of their nap now. I'm going to... I don't like to make excuses. It's probably the worst thing that a facilitator can do or a preacher can do is to get up to start a program and give about 15 excuses why the seminar is going to be terrible. And even if he has got problems, he shouldn't announce them, but I've got one slight problem, and that is that my energy level is very low due to some minor liver dysfunction. So I'm going to try and maintain what I'm doing here, walking around. But we may come to a point where I have to sit down. We'll have to see what happens. Okay. You're just going to stand up and sit down every time? Okay. And make sure you get the right crayons for the right... Where's the paper? Mine for... Yeah, this paper here goes up there. Okay. Yesterday, what did we discuss in one big word? Who can say? Loudly, speak loudly, because remember I'm deaf and dumb. Dumb meaning stupid and deaf too. Yeah. Whoa, genealogy, right, thank you. Okay. What does genealogy mean? You don't know, actually. We should have asked yesterday. What does genealogy mean?
The trace out of the family.
Okay, the family history, the family tree. And this was it. And actually, you don't need this many Husmadingus to hold it up because it doesn't... I mean, use more of these for other things. But basically, I was trying to show how the two opposing forces were from the same family. In other words, it's a fratricidal war. And also, I was being paid by Krishna Dharma to do a commercial for his Mahabharata. I enjoyed his Mahabharata, and I think you should all read it. But here we have the genealogy of the Kauravas, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari's sons and daughters, and over here we have the Pandavas coming through Kunti and Madri and Pandu, who was originally Pandu, goes back over to this side here. Now, we talked about the line of descendants from Lord Krishna, and we talked about the line of descendants from Pandu, or you can say Bhishma or Pratipa, like that. Not Bhishma, actually. He didn't have any children, but Shantanu, Pratipa. So who remembers where those two lines started? What was the origin? We mentioned that. And it's often talked about in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharata. There's two main lines. Who can say? Surya Vansa, or Surya tradition. And what's the other one? Moon? Okay. What's the name for the moon? Huh? Soma, Chandra, whatever. So which line is Lord Krishna coming in? Is he the son of the moon? Or both? He's both. Someone said it over here. Sun. Huh? Moon. Yes, Reverend Moon. Yes, he's in the line coming from the moon, and the Pandavas, Kauravas, the Kuru dynasty, the founder was King Kuru, and he was coming in the line from Surya Vansa. But anyway, they all ended up on the battlefield in Kurukshetra. And they were all very, very angry. The Pandavas were all divine sons. Yudhisthira was born through Kunti from whom? Yudhisthira. Who was his father? Yamaraj. What's another name for Yamaraj and... Okay, Dharmaraj, very good, okay. Then Bhima, who's his brother? Karna? Huh? Oh, Hanuman, Bajrang Bali. Bet you never heard that name before. Yes, Hanuman. And then Arjuna, who was he born from? Huh? Indra, yes, he's the son of Indra and Kunti. And Nakula. Ashwini Kumara, okay. And then Sahadev, finally, who's the last demigod? Ashwini Kumara, right. They're twins. Okay. So, Nakula and Sahadev are the sons of Kunti, and... nobody objects to that? Madri, yes. And Yudhisthira, Bhima, and Arjuna are the sons of Kunti. And Yudhisthira is the oldest of all the Kurus, all the descendants. And he is the rightful heir to the throne. But he has been cheated. He has been insulted. Actually, it's amazing. Yudhisthira had such righteousness. He was such a good person in true sense of the word. He's had such high integrity, much better than Abraham Lincoln. You've heard the story of Abraham Lincoln, how he chopped down a tree, an apple tree or something, and then he said, I cannot tell a lie, I chopped down the tree, whatever. Yudhishthir was much more righteous than that. Of course, honesty is an important part of integrity, but Yudhishthir, he even was able to get involved in the gambling match with Shakuni, although he knew he would lose. He knew he was going to lose because Shakuni was the number one Olympic gambler of the times. I mean, he was the best. And not only that, they were cheating because Shakuni didn't have the money to fight with Yudhishthir. So Duryodhana said, I will back Shakuni. I will place the bets for him. And that's never done. That was cheating. That was totally illegal. But still, because Dhritarashtra ordered Yudhishthir to gamble, Yudhishthir thought, I will lose, but I must follow my principle of respecting my elders. And he did. And they lost everything. He even gambled away his brothers. And finally he gambled away himself, and then he gambled away his wife, Draupadi. Now there was a whole debate in the assembly after losing himself, whether he actually had Draupadi as a wife, and that question was never answered in the assembly. But anyway, Draupadi was insulted by all of the leaders there practically, those who were active and those who were passive. And that is one of the main reasons why everybody had to die at Kurukshetra, because of the insult of Draupadi. But at that time, all of the Pandavas, including Bhima's a heavy, heavy Kshatriya. I mean, he's not only a fighter and a killer, but, you know, he's a Rottweiler. He saw Draupadi being insulted by Dushasana, and he swore on the spot, I will see this man in battle, I'll rip open his heart, and I'll drink the blood from his heart. And he meant it. He wasn't just boasting. And he did it! So that was the setting of the scene. That's the emotions that were running high in the battle. Arjuna also was furious. Nakula and Sahadeva, they were burning. And in fact, at one point, Bhima even insulted Yudhishthir. He had to be calmed down. He had to be held back by Arjuna. He said right in the assembly to Yudhishthir that, bring me a fire, I'll burn out his tongue. About Yudhishthir. He couldn't control, but they were so angry. And then Duryodhana, he was so envious, cowardly and envious, that he couldn't tolerate. He had everything. He had power, he had fame, he was, you know, decent looking, he had all the opulences practically. But he said, I would rather not live than see my rivals make progress or see my rivals doing better than me. There's a saying in Bengal about the viciousness of a certain kind of envious people, that if I can benefit you in any way by spitting, then I'll stop spitting. In other words, they're so envious of the other person that, you know, go to any extreme. This is a battle, and it's about to begin. There are many soldiers on the battlefield. The Kauravas are superior. Now, I've heard different stories, and I really haven't been able to find out the actual truth. Standard division of infantry was called an Akshahini. You can write that down on the board there. A-K-S-A-U. Akshahini. A-K-S-A-U-H-I-N-I. So, yeah, that's good. That'll do. H-I-N-I. Okay. Now, I've heard that the Pandavas had 7 Akshahini and the Kauravas had 11. But I've also seen it in Prabhupada's purports that the Kauravas had 18 Akshahini. And it doesn't mention the Pandavas. So, I'm not exactly sure. Now, there are some the standard size of an Akshahini, and this is also confusing to me, you can write this down. A standard Akshahini is comprised of 21,870 chariots. 21,870 chariots. Okay. And then there's also 21,870 elephants. This is your standard division. We have divisions in the army today, troops, divisions. Is that what elephants are?
Yes.
Slonova. Okay, 21,870 Slonovas. And there were 109,650.
What
is
the number?
109,000. 111, Al, I've heard that. Okay. See, I don't... Better you use this thing here. That's basically called a dry marker. Exomno Cheso Pachas. Now that's infantry. Infantry means foot soldiers. Okay. And 65,600 cavalry. So, 65,600 cavalry, guys on horses. Okay, fine. Now, repeatedly, Prabhupada says there were 640 million people killed on the Battle of Kurukshetra. So, you know, if you add all these up, it doesn't come to 640 million, even if you include the Slonovas. It still doesn't come to 640 million. Now, it may be they had big kochias, they had big chariots, and there could have been more people as a chariot driver. Krishna was Arjuna's chariot driver. The cavalry could have also had assistance, and that could have increased the amount. But anyway, there were a lot of people killed. There was a lot of people fighting. One person I heard once asked Prabhupada, I mean, Prabhupada said everybody in India knows, and it is a fact, most people know, millions of people were killed at Kurukshetra. The Prabhupada said everybody knows 64 crores, and 1 crore is 10 million, so 640 million. So one devotee asked, this is a classic, I love this. This is classic Prabhupada. One devotee asked, Prabhupada,
if Kurukshetra is so big, and there were 640 million people, and, you know, where did they all fit? How could 640 million people have been killed? And Prabhupada said, well, would you believe 64 million? In other words, it wasn't a major issue, but I believe the number is 640 million. There may be details. You know, after 5,000 years ago, sometimes you forget a few things. So there are all these soldiers on the battlefield, and Arjuna is the hero who is expected to do the major damage. Bhima has vowed to kill all the Kauravas, all the sons of Dhritarashtra. He's vowed to kill all 100 of them. So all of the other Pandavas said, okay, we won't kill any of them. And that's what happened during the battle. Even if they came across a Kaurava, they would back off because he's Bhima's. And that's what happened. Bhima killed them all, right down to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana. Right down to Duryodhana. He killed them all. But Arjuna was by far the greatest influence in the battle. And Arjuna was Krishna's close friend. In fact, Arjuna and Krishna are known as Nara Narayan, N-A-R-A, and then after that, Narayan. And if you can't spell that, well, we're in trouble. So they're eternally related together, and in fact they appeared at the beginning of creation to perform tapasya, which they're still doing in the Himalayas to benedict the conditioned souls in this material world, Nara Narayan Rishi. But anyway, Arjuna had a very friendly relationship with Krishna, and Krishna agreed to become his chariot driver. Actually, Krishna himself had about 18 Akshahini soldiers, which Duryodhana took. Both Arjuna and Krishna got Arjuna and Duryodhana got a choice to take from Krishna something. Krishna agreed that he wouldn't fight, but he would serve one person and his army could go to the other. Duryodhana, being a materialist, took Krishna's army, and Arjuna took Krishna. And Krishna agreed to become his chariot driver. So Arjuna is, the battle's about to begin. Bhima's roaring. Nakula, Sahadev are just itching. Drishtadyumna has been born to kill Drona, and Shikhandi to kill Bhima and Bhishma, and you know, many other soldiers. There's a lot of emotion there. They're really angry. And then Arjuna gets nervous, and he doesn't know quite what to do. He starts explaining to Krishna what's happening on the battlefield. He sees everything, and he starts explaining to Krishna why he thinks maybe we ought to call this battle off. You know, maybe we should postpone it, you know. They've already tried like dozens of times to arrange for peace. As I said, even at the last moment, Krishna personally went himself and tried to organize a peace conference. Kind of reminds you of what goes on today, all these peace conferences and then a big war. But anyway, it was bound to happen, and what's more, Krishna wanted it to happen. So at the end of the first chapter, we find that Arjuna has given many, many reasons why he should not fight. And we're just starting the second chapter. We have the theme here, which Mayapur is going to put up for you. No, here. Okay. There's one. This is basically the main theme of the first part of the second chapter. I've divided it into five parts. When one comes to the realization that there is no shelter in the material world, including his own material mind and intelligence, then he will take full shelter of a spiritual authority. So, this is a pretty crucial theme. If you are still thinking that you can solve the problems of life by your own intellectual prowess or by some technology or some material adjustment, if you're still thinking in that way, then you're really not a good candidate for approaching a spiritual authority, because you have your own ideas. And, you know, a spiritual authority, he really is bringing knowledge from a whole different direction, a whole different realm from a spiritual world. There's what's called the empirical process of acquiring knowledge. What does that mean, the empirical process? Hanuman. Speculation, but more specifically, empirical means investigation, using experiencing, yes. It means trying to know by extending your senses. There's a limit to your senses, and so you can extend your senses with microscope and telescope or various instruments, and that's the empirical process, trying to know through your senses. If I can't see it, if I can't smell it, if I can't taste it, if I can't touch it, then it doesn't exist. Right? That's their idea. Whereas Avaroha Panta, the path, the Pampa, Avaroha, descending knowledge, is that knowledge is coming down from a perfect authority. You can write this on the board here. I'm glad to see that Avaroha Panta, you can try to, I hope she can spell it. I'm glad to see that many of you are not taking notes, because I know it's a summer camp, and it also means that I'll be able to give the same seminar next year with the same jokes and everything, and most of you won't have remembered any of it, and so it'll be fresh for you again. So that's very good. I'm happy about that. Avaroha Panta, descending knowledge. So, when one comes to the realization that there's no shelter in the material world, there's no, what does that word shelter mean? Basically, what does it mean to you? What's a one word translation? Protection, yes. No shelter, no protection. What can it mean in different situations? Shelter, protection.
Peace.
Huh?
Peace.
Peace, yes. Happiness, yes. Huh? I'm sorry. To be safe, that's good, yes. But to be safe on what level? Material level, very good. There's the physical level, the intellectual level, the level of intelligence. So, full shelter means to get physical protection. It means to get mental protection. It means to get philosophical shelter. What is the worst pain that you can think of in the world? Worse than physical pain is mental pain. And Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoyandakar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. Krishna is compared to the sun, and Maya is compared to what? The moon? Huh? To what? Darkness. Okay, good. So, what does that mean? Darkness means what? Ignorance. The worst pain in life is actually not knowing what life is about. Why am I suffering? Why am I here? What's the reason for my existence? What is this all about? You can tolerate physical pain, but not knowing why you're tolerating it or what purpose you have in life, to me that's the most miserable thing. So to get shelter in the material world means to actually get complete shelter on all different levels. And you have to, here it's said, including your own mind and intelligence. When you stop using your own mind and intelligence to speculate and use your mind and intelligence to get shelter from Krishna, then you will be a candidate. Now, this is, it's an interesting word, and it's a whole other discussion. I won't get into it, but I will just mention it. We talk about Uttama Adhikari, right? I'm sure in these days everybody knows the meaning of Uttama Adhikari, right? How many don't know the meaning of Uttama Adhikari? Just a few of you. Okay. Basically, there are three classes of devotees: a Kanishtha or neophyte devotee, a Madhyam, a middle class devotee, and an Uttam, a top class devotee. But the word Adhikari means basically someone who has the Adhikar to achieve something. He has the right to accept. Just like, for example, we take initiation as brahmanas, but we still eat with our left hand. I've seen that happen all the time. Or I just won't go into the things that ISKCON brahmanas do that are totally moochy. That Brahminical initiation means now you have the basic qualification, you have faith in the holy name, you have some knowledge. This is the beginning. Now you have to become qualified more. You have to progress. You have the Adhikar. There's a difference between Uttama Adhikari and Uttama Bhagavat. Uttama Bhagavat is someone who is completely merged in Krishna, and he doesn't see any difference between those who are conditioned souls and those who are not conditioned. He sees they're all serving Krishna. So, you at this stage, You're ready to take shelter of a spiritual authority, and that's where Arjuna is at. And in the very first verse, Arjuna says, Tam tata kripayavrishtam asru purna kalechanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha Madhusudana. So Krishna is called here Madhusudana. Who knows why he's called Madhusudana? Huh? Killing the demon of doubt. But why not call him, Gaurasundar? Why Madhusudana? Why is he called Madhusudana? Huh? For this specific situation. But why Madhusudana? Is Madhusudana on the battlefield or? Okay. Yes, sir.
Madhu was a very special demon.
Yes. He's known as the killer of the Madhu demon. Why don't you write this down? You can wipe off this. Yeah. You just wipe off the top part. You won't be able to write anything over top of it, okay. Okay, now wipe it off and put Madhusudana. So, there's actually two demons here. One is Madhu. Who's the other one? Kaitava, yes. There were two demons. I mentioned them in Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's seminar. We were talking about pedophilia. The problem of pedophilia in ISKCON. And we mentioned that at the beginning of creation there were two demons that attacked Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was created, but then he didn't create them. But Madhu and Kaitava demons, they appeared and Krishna had to kill them to help Lord Brahma. So, okay, you can write Madhu and Kaitava, K-A-I-T-A-B-H-A, and Madhu, M-A-D-H-U. Who knows the Sanskrit meaning for the word Madhu? Huh? Honey, yeah, and tomorrow's Balaram's appearance day, where we offer honey to Balaram. Okay. So this verse basically means, Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. So Arjuna is full of compassion. And
what's going on?
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Understand the language in this. So, basically, Arjuna gave a lot of good reasons why he shouldn't fight. But they were all based upon false compassion. Compassion for the body and Krishna was quite amazed that Arjuna, who was supposed to be an Aryan, who was supposed to be a civilized man, was now lamenting Tam Tata Kripaya Vrishtam Ashru Purna Kulakshanam. Seeing Arjuna with his eyes full of tears, this is a grown man, a giant warrior with arms like, big trees, bulging muscles, and able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, big S on his t-shirt. And here he is crying. And he's full of compassion. So then Krishna chastises Arjuna with relatively strong words. He says, Kutas tva kashmalamidam kishame samupastitam anarya dristam asvar yama kirtikaram Arjuna. Kutas tva. He says, where from these qualities have come from? Kuta means where from. Anarya justam. Too slow. You gotta go fast. I'll tell you how to, just K-U-T-A-S. That's close enough. Kutas. Okay. And then Anaya Dristam. Dot 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 in between. No, no. Yeah, yeah. They're not at all befitting someone who knows the progressive values of life. Anaya Justam, J-U-S-T-A-M. You have each other to see here. That's okay. I'll just speak it out here. In the future, not in the future. And then he says, Kavyam mas magama parta naitat payupapadyate shudram hridaya darbalyam. Right away, Krishna gets heavy. He's, you know, they were friends. Now, a friend is someone who may agree with you, but a friend is also someone who will always speak the truth and tell you the truth and even try to help you by, you know, sometimes saying things you don't like to hear. So Krishna is saying, Klavyam mas magama partha naitat payupapadite shudram hridaya dorbalyam. Arjuna, these are weaknesses in your heart. Kick them out. And what does that mean for us? In our lives, practically, this is, here's the example, Krishna and Arjuna. The Bhagavad Gita is the basis, the foundation of all our other spiritual literatures. It's the ABC. Right at the foundational level, Krishna is telling Arjuna to reject false compassion, to get off the bodily conception of life. If you want to talk about spiritual life, you know, people use this word very loosely. Spiritual life. Oh yeah, spiritual life. That's cool. Yeah, you know, what are you into? I'm into crystals, you know. Well, I'm into spiritual life too. I, you know, stand on my head and you know, think of angels or something. You know, there's so many things that people concoct to be spiritual life. But what's the very first thing in spiritual life? What's the most obvious thing that comes to mind in spiritual life? Huh? Someone said? Spirit, yeah, spiritual life. You got to get off the bodily life platform and get into spiritual life. There's a difference between only Krishna, there's no difference. Krishna's body and soul are not different. Deha dehi vibhago yam nishvare vidyate kvachit. But for us, there's a difference. So Krishna tells Arjuna, you've got to make this decision in your life. If you want spiritual life, I could give you something watered down. I could give you something that would be very easy for you. But if you want the real thing, then you're going to have to take responsibility to clean house, to clean your heart. If you want to go back to Godhead, what is the nature of the soul? Why don't you write this down? What is the nature of the soul? In Sanskrit. What do we say about the soul? In Sanskrit. Loudly. Sat Chit Ananda. Yes, that's right. And what does Sat mean? What does Chit mean? Huh? Blissful? It's blissful that you're thinking about it, but what does chit mean? Full of knowledge, yes. The soul is sat, eternal, The soul is chit by nature, full of knowledge. And what else? What does ananda mean? Huh? Blissful, yes. Ananda. Now, what is the difference between happiness and bliss? There's two Sanskrit words. One is sat, one is ananda, and one is sukha. Sukha means happiness. Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that we have to be equanimical about happiness. Sukha dukkhe same. We have to disregard happiness. Even if happiness comes to us, we should treat it equally with distress. Now, what's the difference between that and ananda? This? No. Yes. Happiness, what? Will pass. It's temporary. What is there's a verse about in the Sikshastakam which kind of describes what ananda is. There's one line. Loudly. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamritas vadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Prabhupada's books key. Okay. Yeah, I heard that Yugoslavia at one time used to be practically the world's leader in book distribution. Is that true? I think it was true. That's what they told me. Everywhere I went, they tell me that. So, Krishna tells Arjuna that he should take the responsibility. No doubt these dirty things in his heart. But basically, that's what we're going to have to do. There are things that you can learn to make it easier. There are tips and tricks of the trade. You like that? Have you heard that expression? Tips and tricks of the trade. Tips are not things you get that you give at a restaurant. Tips are good advices. Tips. Give me some tips and tricks. And tricks of the trade. Trade means your work. You know, just like a carpenter. He can, you know, you may have a job to build a house or something. And you have to saw some wood. And, you know, if you go about it, you'll use twice as much wood. But the carpenter knows some tips and tricks by which you can save half the amount of wood and half the amount of money and get the house built twice as quickly. So he knows some tips and tricks of his trade. So there's also sadhu tips and tricks. But basically, at the core, at the bottom core, you have to make a decision, like Arjuna has to make a decision now. Krishna wants him to fight, and he doesn't want to fight. So, in verses 1 through 3, Krishna instructs Arjuna and about he uses strong words, and then in 4 through 6, Arjuna's already heard Krishna. In verses 4 through 6, Arjuna again repeats his arguments. He talks about Guru Nahatvahi Mahanubhavan. How can we kill in battle men like Bhishma, Drona, who are our gurus? He's already said that before, but again he's saying it, and saying that if I win the kingdom,
without them, even if I defeat them, without them I'll be unhappy without their association. And then finally, the classic verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Karpanya dosho pahata svabhavaha prachami tvam dharma samuddha cheta yachtraya syan nischitam me sisyas teham shadi mam tvam prapanam. Now I'm really confused. I feel that I can't solve this problem using my own mind and intelligence. And I want to take full shelter. Sisya, I want to become your sisya. You've heard of the word siksha a lot. Well, a sisya is someone who takes siksha. Make sense? Good. Sisyas teham shadi mam tvam prapanam. From you, me, mom, I want to take shelter in you. Please become my spiritual master. Please instruct me. And then the whole relationship between Krishna and Arjuna changes. Before they were family friends, now Arjuna changes his whole attitude. Now this means something. As supposed equals, or even respectful superior and inferior, we can discuss things, and there'll be a give and take dialogue. I may agree with some things you say, I may disagree with other things. I may follow you later on, or I may reject you. Anything could happen in our relationship. There's no commitment. But here, Arjuna has realized that to solve my problem, I need help. So he says to Krishna that, I'm becoming your disciple, please instruct me. And this is basically the decision that we have to take. Now the whole dynamic, the whole process of receiving knowledge, what it is that in your heart you have said to Krishna from your heart that I want to know you, I want to surrender to you, I want to get serious about spiritual life. And then Krishna takes the responsibility to enlighten you, to educate you through his representative, the spiritual master, through his representatives, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, plural, through these spiritual masters. In various ways, Krishna is going to instruct you. But you have taken a solid decision that I want to get serious about spiritual life. And not only today, it's not only a one-day commitment, but it's a commitment to a process. It's a commitment to an evolution in your own spiritual development, deeper and deeper and deeper. So, this is a crucial point, and it's something that we all have to come to. Then, of course, Arjuna sets a good example. He surrenders to Krishna. And then in verses 7 through 8, again Arjuna expresses his doubts. But this time, he's got a different approach. Before, he was just speaking to his friend, but now as disciple and spiritual master, Arjuna is ready to learn from Krishna. And he says basically again the same things. Now I'm confused and lost. I surrender unto you. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, undivided kingdom like the demigods in heaven. So, then Sanjaya says, having spoken thus, Eva Mukva Rishikesham Gudakesha Parantapas Nayochi Iti Govindam Ukva Tushnim Babuvaha, Arjuna, chastiser of the enemies, is a little bit of sarcasm both from Krishna to Arjuna and in other places here from Sanjaya. He's calling Arjuna chastiser of the enemies, and Arjuna is saying, I shall not fight. He reveals his mind to his spiritual master. And that's basically the relationship that we have with the spiritual master. We have to reveal our minds. And now there's a few things here that I'd like to emphasize. One is, you can write on the flip chart. In this first section, the result of selfishness, Arjuna is criticized for, you just write down the result of selfishness. So Arjuna is criticized by Krishna for his selfishness. And what do you think are some of the results of selfishness? I'm looking for two major results, but let's see how close you can come. Arjuna is supposed to fight, and he develops this false compassion, and something happens to him. So, what are some of the results, you think, of selfishness? Confusion. Huh? Afraid, fear, yes.
No clean mind.
Yes, that's true.
Lack of compassion.
Lack of compassion. Arjuna has lots of compassion. False compassion. Yes. Huh? Yes, loss of faith. All these things happen. But one thing that happens to Arjuna is, you can put this down, he loses the ability to make decisions. Because